Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. We've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes for today's call. To ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out in our Facebook group. Join me out in the Sales Technology Training Program group, and there's a pinned post out on the page. I'm going to add a note there myself, and you can add one there as well. And let's also set a comment goal for today's call. Let's go with 20 comments today. 20 comments is our goal. So, again, share your takeaways as we go through the information today. And I also encourage you to access the recordings of the calls out on our membership page. Again, you can find the link in the email message that I sent out earlier today. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems in your business to generate leads and earn sales. And we focus in on specific tools, everything from we talk a little bit about social media, we talk about appointment setting tools like TimeTrade, we talk about CRM systems, email marketing systems, online lead generation systems, websites, and other tools. And a couple quick announcements. Number one, I wanted to let you know I'm going to be doing some upcoming free training events coming up in the month of February. So I'll be sending out email messages coming up soon that will share all the details for that. So keep an eye out. And also, I want to encourage you, if you haven't had a sales technology training or sales technology coaching session, then I would encourage you to contact me to schedule one. And you can reach out to me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com to request a time to schedule that. And let's go ahead and dive into our content for today. Today we're going to be talking about Digital U online video strategies. Digital U online video strategies. Just recently, in the month of December, I ran a video marketing program. And I was taking students through the process of creating videos, and it was an opportunity for everybody to get into action and create some videos. I also got into action myself. I think I created about 6 videos as I went through the program myself as well. And, you know, sometimes you need that kind of accountability to get into action, to get things done. Sometimes you know you need to do something, and for whatever reason, you're just not doing. You're just not taking action to get things done. I would encourage you to think about what you can implement related to video. And so on today's call, I'm going to be sharing tips, techniques, strategies that you can use that will help you to get into action to leverage video. And really, there's a number of different ways that you can use video. We'll get into some different methods here. But one of the methods is just simply to post your videos up on YouTube. Just create short, high-impact videos, post them up on YouTube, and that will give you an opportunity to be able to share or get, have people find those videos online and watch them. In fact, if you have any videos, I do encourage you to share those out on social media. You can also embed those videos onto your blog. That's a great technique. Take a video that you've uploaded to YouTube and then embed that onto your blog. You can also send out an email message and then encourage people to go out to your blog to watch the video. Now, this concept of Digital U, that actually originated with Eric Lofholm. He uses the phrase Digital Eric to refer to the strategies that he's implementing around video. In fact, right before the call today, I was on the phone with Eric for about 10 minutes. Eric's got a couple of projects that he's having me work on. We're going to be launching a new website that's going to provide access to additional free sales training tools. And so that will be coming out in the month of February. I just got the instructions on what to create for that. And I'm also going to be working on setting up a registration webpage for him for a class that he's going to be teaching, a free class coming up in the month of February. And so for Eric, you know, he's always looking at how can I leverage the web? How can I launch a new website? How can I create a video series? How can I create an information product like a book? How can I get that out there? In fact, one of the techniques that Eric talks about is the concept of deliverables. Deliverables. And I'm actually familiar with the term from my work in the corporate world. We used to refer to deliverables as documents. Like if you were working on projects, it was to create a project plan. That would be a deliverable. And so I've been familiar with the term for many years, but the term can also be used in, you know, for small businesses as well. So anything that you want to get created in your business, then that could be considered a deliverable. So for instance, if you want to get a blog post done, that's a deliverable. I want to get a new blog post out of my blog by Wednesday at 5 p.m. That's a deliverable. That's something you're going to deliver out to the web. I want to create a video. I want to publish it on YouTube. That's a deliverable. I want to get it done by Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific. That would be a deliverable to get done. I want to launch a new website where I can provide access to tools and resources. That would be a deliverable. So I want to encourage you to grasp hold of this concept of deliverables. One thing about deliverables, number one, it's tangible. It's creating something or implementing something in your business. Number two, it typically has a specific deadline associated with it, some time that you want to complete that specific deliverable by. And usually it's something where not only you will benefit from it, but also your customers, your clients, your prospects may benefit from it as well. And, of course, a lot of deliverables might be associated with marketing. It's something that will help you to get your message out there. Sometimes the deliverables are more, private or internal. For instance, if you wanted to book yourself on a radio show, one of the deliverables would just be to book a radio interview. But you might have several deliverables to prepare in advance. When you book the interview, your interviewer is probably going to ask you what your topic is and ask you to send over details about what you'll be talking about. So the deliverable would be a title for your appearance on the radio and some additional copy that would help to describe that they could use on their website to promote the show. Another deliverable would be a list of questions. They might say, oh, can you send over a list of questions that will help me to prepare for the interview? So coming up with a list of questions would be a deliverable. And I just want to come back to this idea, and I'll probably be using this term myself more just because I think it's meaningful, I think it's relevant, and I think it's a nice way of helping you get associated with getting something done. Because oftentimes, for a lot of things that we talk about, it's very possible that you might have an intention to do something, but it remains an intention. You don't actually take the action to plan it or take it seriously or put it on your calendar or put it on your task list. So I want to encourage you to think about really getting into action, not only just thinking about doing things, but actually getting it done. In fact, one of the tools that I've been using lately in my business is a tool for project management. I've used many different tools for managing tasks and projects over the years, but I wanted to implement something that would help me to get a little bit more organized because, you know, typically at any given time, I have probably somewhere in the range of about 50 different projects that I'm working on. And that's not only projects for myself, that's projects for clients. Right now I'm working on building probably about 6 or 7 different websites for clients. I'm working on writing copy for clients. I'm managing social media for clients. I'm helping clients develop teleseminar webinar presentations. And in addition to that, I'm also running this month in January 6 simultaneous training programs. So this month alone, I have 6 different programs where I'm teaching multiple classes over the course of the month. 3 of those programs, I'm teaching 4 webinars for the month. So that's 12 webinars alone, and then add another 3 programs on top of that. So at any given time, I have literally, hundreds of different tasks that are on my list. And so, I looked out there and I said, okay, what are the tools that are available right now that will help me to manage projects? And I looked around and I did a little bit of due diligence, and I came back to a tool that I've used in the past. And that tool is called Basecamp. And what's interesting is that within the last year, the company itself really got more focused and committed on that software program. They had actually developed about 4 different software programs. I've used a couple of those over the years and liked those as well. And what they decided to do was to sell off the other software programs and just focus on Basecamp. And they changed the name of their company from 37 Signals to Basecamp. So if you've never thought about using project management software, it's something to consider. If you have multiple projects that you're working on, It can help you to get organized. Now, here's the thing. It won't actually help you to get the work done in the sense that the software is not going to do the work for you. It just helps you get better organized about what your priorities are and what you want to focus on. The challenge or the risk is that there are things that need to be done that just kind of keep getting pushed to the side, pushed to the back burner, and then you eventually forget them. And by using tools that help you to keep your tasks in front of you and prioritize and organize those, then you can be much more efficient and effective. So that's a technology that you could consider using. It's not a sales technology specifically, but it could help you to get organized around the things that you want to implement in your business. Now, this digital Eric concept, going back to Eric Laufholm, he said that the idea was inspired by watching Brendan Burchard. Brendan Burchard burst onto the scene a number of years ago. He's written a couple of best-selling books. He's doing a lot of workshops and live trainings. And so he's somebody who's a leader in the industry. And so Eric was inspired by what Brendan is doing because Brendan has implemented sales funnels using videos. So he has online sales funnels where you can go opt in, and then it'll send out a series of email autoresponders over time and encourage you to go out and watch videos. And then on the videos, then he sells products and programs. And so Eric likes the idea of creating leverage. And I think that's an idea that you should embrace as well, is thinking about what you can do that will create leverage in your business. So by creating leverage, it allows you to do more with less. It allows you to be generating results even when you're not working. And I think that's something that I look at more and more in my business that I want to be able to accomplish is because I work pretty hard in my business. I work probably in the range of about 60 to 80 hours a week in some cases. And I've been feeling a lot more lately. And, you know, I'm looking at it going, you know what, too hard for what I'm doing here. I need to reevaluate and adjust what I'm doing, increase prices in some cases, and look for ways to create more leverage. But part of the challenge here is you really have to have a systems orientation when it comes to video. It's not just about creating a few videos and posting them up on YouTube. It's really kind of thinking strategically about video and thinking about how to organize more of a sales funnel. A sales funnel is where you have a systematic process where you're going to market to people over time, driving toward a specific offer. It's a pretty significant effort to create. It might include creating email autoresponder messages, videos, sales pages, lead capture pages. So there could be multiple items or multiple steps or systems that you need to implement in order to make the whole thing work and then ultimately to drive towards sales. And until you still are going to have to do some of the same things that you would be doing anyway, like telemarketing, doing presentations like teleseminars or webinars, to be able to generate results as well. You can't just put the whole thing on autopilot. You still have to be active in marketing your business as well. So first of all, I encourage you to get comfortable using videos. That's a resistance point for a lot of people. They struggle because they want to create videos, but they can't really get connected to the value of doing that. And so they just get caught up in the resistance. Now, by the way, as we go through the call today, I want to encourage you to share your takeaways out in the Facebook group. Our goal is for 20, and I can see we're already up to 15, so I'm actually going to double our comment. So I'm moving up our comment goal to 30 comments. I can see Alan's posting out in the group. Roy is posting in the group, so keep the comments coming. Also want to acknowledge Lori Whaley, who's on the call with us today. Thanks for joining in, Lori. Feel free to join us out in the Facebook group and post some comments there as well. Now, so first of all, get comfortable with videos. If you have not been creating videos, then you know what? Let 2015 be the year of doing video. I think 2015 is probably going to be a year that I start hiring a videographer to do some of my videos. Most of the videos that I do are either selfie videos or I use my laptop or something else while I'm recording a video. And I've thought, maybe this is the year that I go out and hire a videographer and then record a whole series of videos. I've seen Eric Laufholm do that when I've worked with Eric directly. Eric had a green screen set up. He had a green room, or you could go in and film video, and you would have a videographer come in on site and film those videos. And he's also gone out to videographers. Sometimes he's had a videographer come into his home to record videos. So there's a lot of different ways that you can set up and record videos. But here's the thing. Before you hire a videographer, make sure that you're comfortable talking on video, because ultimately when it comes down to it, you have to stand in front of a background and speak. So you have to be comfortable with the words that you're using. If you're not comfortable just communicating information, then it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to record videos. So why not get the practice doing it on your own? And just think about all the different topics that you want to talk about. So for instance, if you've been creating content for your blog, then take that content and then use it to create videos. So a simple way to do a video is just a selfie video. It's where you hold up your phone, your camera phone or smartphone, and then just record a video directly. One of the disadvantages, the quality of the video is not always that great. I mean, sometimes the video is crystal clear, but the video might be shaking a little bit. Some of the videos that I've been doing lately, I've been recording off of a tablet computer, and so I'm holding up the tablet, and, you know, my hand is shaking while I'm holding it, so it doesn't, you know, make for the best video. So if you can have the video that you're using be stationary, and again, you can also do this with a phone as well. You could find a place where you could kind of mount the phone. In fact, there are devices you can get, little mounting devices, a stand, which will grip and hold a phone or a tablet. In fact, I should make that, add that to my list. I should look for one of those myself. See, this is I add another task to my list now. I need to find a video mounting bracket or stand for phone and tablet. All right, so I'm going to add that to my task list. So for some of you, you might be ready to do that as well. Now, another thing to think about with videos is the speed of implementation. The speed of implementation. How long does it take for you to record that video and publish it? If you go to a videographer and hire them to record, say, 10 videos, then it's going to take you probably a couple hours to record those. They'll take the video, then they'll go back to their studio, and then they will work each one of those videos, and they might create like an intro and an outro, and they have to go in and add that into each of the videos. They might do some editing on the video itself, might cut out some mistakes in there, add in some kind of transitions in there. And so, you know, each one of those videos might take, say, 20 to 30 minutes of work just to do editing on it. So it might be weeks before you actually start seeing some of those videos come out. Maybe they send them to you over time, or maybe they wait till the end and get them all to you at once. You know, the videographers who do this for a living, they're usually pretty fast and effective in doing this. So it's probably, you know, assuming the video shoot goes pretty smoothly, then it should be an easy thing. Now, if you're recording videos yourself, you can take them, record them, and then edit them yourself. But what I encourage you to do is just record the video and upload it directly to YouTube. Like for the videos that I was doing through my tablet, what I would do is I would record the video on my tablet, and then I took it and I copied it over to Dropbox because I wanted to take it over to my computer and upload it from there because it tends to work more easily in terms of the upload process, because I can log in directly into my YouTube site and then click the button and then upload the video directly into YouTube. I'll have to experiment with that, you know, directly from the tablet. I guess it should be possible to do there as well, but I've just found it easier to move the file over, and that way I've got it stored on my computer as well if I need to go back and access it in the future. But the point here is to make it as simple as possible to create the video and then to upload it to YouTube. And then once it's out on YouTube, then you can take those videos and you can share them in different places. And this concept of the digital you, you know, so digital Tom, digital Alan, digital Lori, digital Roy, digital Rick, is to have video content online of you that you can share. And it could also be to implement a sales funnel. So I'll just give you a simple example. For instance, you could create a series of 7 videos, and then you could create an autoresponder message for each one of those videos. And then you could set up an opt-in page or a lead capture page where people can go out, fill out the form, and then opt in to receive this 7 video series. And then that would trigger a series of email messages that would go out over a period of time. Could be every day, could be every other day, or maybe one per week. And then they'll receive that series of messages, and then they'll click go out, and then they can watch the videos on your website. So not only can you upload videos to YouTube, but there are also a lot of other sites out there. If you want to have the videos more private, you could use something like Vimeo. And then you could take that Vimeo video and embed that onto your site. And then when you send out an autoresponder message, you would say, here's your first video, click here. And you include the link out to your website. So it's a powerful form of what's called sequential marketing. Sequential marketing. And then what would you talk about on those videos? What would you do? Well, it depends on what your offer is. What are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to add value? Are you trying to make some kind of an offer, sell some kind of a product or program, or maybe a combination of the two? Susan Weinschenk, Dr. Susan Weinschenk, also known as the Brain Lady, is a leading speaker, author, and consultant to brands like Amazon, Disney, Walmart, and South by Southwest. She has uncovered four core, very human reasons that we're drawn to video. Number one is the fusiform facial area makes us pay attention to faces. This is an actual brain function that hardwires us to use the human face as a gathering point for information and believability. See, our brains are geared toward looking at people's faces and collecting information from them. So if you're not using video to share information, then you're missing out on an opportunity that helps to convey information and also believability. So when people see you talking, then it makes you more believable. Number two, voice conveys rich information. Yes, the simple sound of a human voice speaking to us has an amazing way of converting information into meaningful content. It's funny. I saw a graphic on Facebook yesterday, and it said it was a joke. It said, "Let me think how it went." Let's eat grandma was the first line, and then let's eat comma grandma. And it said, commas save lives. So they were making a point that the fact that there was, because if you're hearing it, if we just said, let's eat grandma, then everybody would be like, all right, yeah, let's eat grandma. Not that they're going to do that, but that's a different interpretation than saying, let's eat grandma. There's a lot that's told in the inflection, in the pause, that in one form, you have cannibalism, eating grandmother, and the other one is a conversation with grandma, inviting her to perhaps cook a meal to eat. So, when you're communicating through voice, that's communicating a lot of information. Number three, emotions are contagious. Here's a subtle but powerful aspect that we may take for granted. The body language of emotions is appealing, and we naturally love to share. So when you're communicating on video, you might be making gestures. You might be making gestures with your hands or other symbols. You might have expressions on your face, smiling. If you smile, then someone else may smile. You might influence them to smile just simply by smiling. Number four, movement grabs attention. Another trait that runs deep in our collective anthropological DNA is the power of peripheral motion. Since the Stone Age, we've survived by noticing things in motion. So what happens is if you move on camera, if you make a quick movement or something like that, that's going to grab somebody's attention. In one of my videos, I held up my key ring, and I jingled the keys, and it made a noise. So it made not only a noise, but also a movement. And so it serves to grab attention. So think about things that you can do in your videos that will grab people's attention. And think of other visuals that you can use and things like that. Brendan Burchard is known on a lot of his videos to use a whiteboard. And many people who create longer videos use whiteboards or flip charts as a way of communicating information. All right. I'm going to check out in the Facebook group in a couple minutes here. So if you have any questions, now would be a great time to post them. Otherwise, keep sharing your takeaways or your golden nuggets from what you're learning on the call today. All right, let's get into some tips to create short, high-impact videos. First of all, in order to create a video and post it up on YouTube, I recommend that you keep it short, about 2 to 3 minutes long. that's really kind of the perfect length for a video, because if somebody's coming across your video on YouTube, they've never seen you before, they're probably not going to want to sit through a 10-minute video. So with a short video, it gives them just enough information that you can build trust and rapport, you can add value, and you might even be able to lead them to a next step, like sending them out to a lead capture page. And by the way, when you select your topic for your video, start first by thinking about what the call to action is. Where are you going to send people? What are you going to ask them to do? One of my contacts, when she records the video, she puts her phone number on it, and she encourages people to contact her by phone. So, you know, there's more than one type of call to action. You can ask people to email you. You can ask people to call you. You can ask people to go out to a web page to go get access to a free resource, for instance. You could just send them out to your website. You could even encourage them to connect with you on social media. There's all sorts of techniques that you can use. And you should think about all the different types of call to actions, calls to action that you have available, your offers, and then create videos, multiple videos for each one. On your videos, make sure that you introduce yourself. Don't just assume that people know who you are. So start off, usually what I'll say is, hi, this is Rick Cooper from Social Media Outcomes. I want to share a quick social media tip with you. So that's how I would start off a video. And I've seen some videos on the internet where they have an intro. I recommend that you keep those fairly short, in the range of less than 5 seconds. Sometimes you see them where they're like 15 seconds and it's all this music and video and everything like that. If you don't get to the point right away, people are likely to click off. So if you're going to do an intro, make it very brief and then jump straight in. Another technique that you can use in a video is an ICR. ICR stands for Interest Creating Remark. This is a great way to make sure that people watch your video till the very end. You can make some kind of a statement about what they're going to learn. I could say something like, at the end of this video, I'm going to share a great technique that will help you to double the size of your email list. So when I say that, it grabs their attention and encourages them to want to keep watching the video because they want to learn that tip at the end. So what kind of content should you share in a video? Well, I recommend sharing one tip or strategy or technique, share one story, and then share your offer, and then give a call to action for your offer. So, you know, one tip, one story. What is it that you can share? What kind of technique do you want to share? Sometimes I'll share a little bit more. I might have one main idea. I did a video recently on how to increase your email open rate, and I shared three quick tips around that. So really the only limit here is just trying to keep the length of it to about 2 to 3 minutes. And what I found is usually your best attempts often end up coming out longer. So you may end up starting to do with like 4 to 5 minute videos and realizing, oh, wow, I need to cut this down more. I need to make these shorter. And if you end up with longer ones, go ahead and post them as is and then move on to another idea. But you'll just get a sense over time of actually how much content that you need to share. Okay, let me pop over into the Facebook group and read some of the comments there. And let's see here. Wow, we're already up to 37 comments. Great job. We blasted through our second comment goal here of 30. So I'm going to have to bump it up again, and I'll bump it up to 40. So new comment goal is 40. All right, jumping in here. Let's see. Roy says, oh, still trying to get connected. Sorry about that. Roy says, got connected after the sixth attempt. Wow, I got in on the first time today. Tom says, good afternoon, Rick, Roy, and group. Roy says, integrate your blog with video broadcasting platforms like YouTube to expand your publicity outreach. Yeah, excellent. Embed your YouTube videos onto your blog, and that will help to create additional visibility. Alan's on the webinar and says, anything that you want to create for your business is a deliverable. Yeah, absolutely. Alan provides a further definition. A deliverable is a tangible result. Set a deadline for getting your deliverable done. Yeah, in some sense, a deliverable is kind of like a goal, but a goal doesn't necessarily have to be a deliverable. So the goal could be spend 10 minutes smiling a day, and that could be your goal. and then you could check, you know, you could smile for 10 minutes and then you could check that off your list. That's not necessarily a deliverable. A deliverable is something more tangible. It might be a document. It might be a video. It might be a sales script. It might be a teleseminar registration page. It's something that you want to get accomplished, something you want to get done. Alan said, it is nice to intend to do something, but it's 100 times better to get it done. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's not just enough to have that intention. You really need to move into the realm of just getting things done, getting things accomplished in your business. Alan said, use tools to keep you on task and organized. Roy says, video promotions can feed into your sales funnel. Yeah, absolutely. You could base a sales funnel on a video promotion where you have a series of videos that drive toward a single call to action, for instance, and that will funnel your prospects toward taking an action. It's a process of sequential marketing because it's coming back repeatedly to somebody with a specific opportunity. Alan says, Brendan Burchard is a leader in the industry with online video funnel marketing systems. Yes. And Alan says, a sales funnel is when you have a systematic approach for contacting people over time. Parts can be automated. Yes, absolutely. That's ideal, is to have an automated sales funnel. Alan says, don't be intimidated by videos. Learn how to make them and use them. All right, Alan, that's the challenge for you. I'm going to throw that into your goals for the year to get some videos done. So I'm going to leave it to you to figure out when you're going to have your YouTube channel up and when you're going to have some videos posted out there. Alan says, make 2015 the year of video. And then Lori says, make 2015 the year for videos. Stop the resistance. Yes. Alan said, get comfortable talking on video. Practice. Absolutely. All right, let me share a few more ideas here, and then we'll jump back in a second. In fact, let's do a little exercise here. Let's get you into action. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to come up with a topic for a video. So what I want you to think about is, what is a good content-oriented topic that you can select, that you can record in a video? Let's not worry about the offer for the moment. Let's just worry about content. So what is a topic that you could use to record in a video? So I'm going to give you 2 minutes right now. Sit down, think about it for a moment, and then I want you to go and post that out in the Facebook group. Okay, about a minute and 30 seconds left. About 45 seconds left. Again, we're working on an exercise right now to come up with a topic for a video. Okay, we're just about there. Let me go ahead and pop back over to the page, and we'll see who's posting. All right, let's see. Here we go. All right. Tom says, video title, Preview of Entrepreneurship. I think that's a good topic, Tom, but I think I would narrow that down. I think that's a super broad topic. So I think since you're working on an ebook right now through the our Information Product Creation Workshop, what I would suggest is pick a couple topics that you could use to record videos. So, you know, maybe pick a topic related to marketing, maybe pick a topic related to sales, maybe pick a topic related to choosing a business opportunity, pick a topic related to business networking. So I would really kind of narrow that down a little bit, and it could be that all the videos then drive toward your free ebook, that you have the webpage set up, and then you would share the opportunity to do that. So it could be that what you would do then is until you have the registration page for your book set up, you would just work on the video scripts. So get all your video scripts written down, and then once you have the webpage set up and you know where you want to drive people to, then record the videos and then give out the link. That would probably be an ideal way to optimize that. So I would set a goal maybe to record at least 5 videos you could publish out to YouTube and put on that, and then publish the videos or embed the videos over onto your blog. Have a different blog post for each one of the videos out on your website at trholtis.com. Okay, let's see. Lori says, Gumbaru, try your hardest, do your best, never give up, and go for broke. So I think that's her topic that she's going to use for her video. Awesome. In fact, Lori is author of a new book on the courage of the samurai, and that book is coming out this year. So stay tuned. I'm sure Lori will share details once that's available. And so this is a perfect time, Lori, for you to be in action creating videos, because you've got a ton of content that you can leverage. And you'd have to think about what your call to action would be. Do you want to just drive out to encourage people to go out and read your book? That would be a possibility. It could be some other type of call to action. But I think the opportunity is there to leverage some of that content in the book and then get people interested in the topic and then have them go out and get the book, for instance. All right, going back to some of our earlier comments, Alan said, selfie videos you make yourself are easy but maybe shaky or have other quality issues. Yeah, I would just encourage you to try out different types of media recording or different methods for recording your videos and experiment with it. And, you know, not every video is going to be a great one. And I don't want you waiting until you can go to a videographer before you can get some videos done. Some of my favorite videos are ones that I've just done with my laptop. My laptop is pretty flexible in terms of picking up, moving around, taking it to different locations. I can get my lighting set up, and then I can record the video. And I think if you get a stand, it might make recording from a phone easier to use as well. Alan says there are products that let you put your phone on a stick for better looking selfies. Yes. In fact, I wonder, let me see if I can do a quick, let's see, camera, phone, stand. Let's see if we can pull up something real quick here from Amazon or somewhere. Mini adjustable tripod plus camera holder for iPhone. Okay, here we go. So let me grab this link and I will share it over in the group so you guys can take a look at what I'm thinking about here. There we go. So they're called mini adjustable tripods. And let's see. Oh, wow. This thing says $3.58. That's crazy. Can that be? Maybe it's used. I don't know. It looks pretty good to me. But I think it looks like, it does have a little gripper on the top. Yeah, so it kind of reaches around and grips it. I don't know if it's it does say adjustable, so maybe it will work for different types of phones. So it may be possible to purchase one off the internet for fairly inexpensive, and then you can use that. So I'll have to check out into that. And it says it extends to 8 inches. Okay, cool. All right, continuing on here. Tom says, I have a high-end Logitech camera. I just need to hook it up. There you go. Sometimes that's it. And sometimes that's all you need to do is just take that next step. Maybe it's not even get the video done. It's just get the camera hooked up. Let me hook up the camera to the computer. Because even if you can just turn it on and then see yourself on the screen, it's like, okay, you know, cross that off the list. That's done. Then the next step is to record the video. Roy said you can record videos yourself from your smartphone and use an app to edit them. Well, that's a good point. There may be apps on your smartphone that you could install that would allow you to edit them. In fact, I know when I was working out of Eric's office last year, Eric Lofholm, and he had his green screen set up, his office manager, Vicky, recorded a video, and she was able to it picked up the green screen, and I think she was able to use an app to edit it and then actually insert a background in. Because the whole concept with a green screen is not that you're filming against a green screen, but the green screen allows you to substitute a background image. So it looks like you could be, you know, you could be standing in front of a waterfall. You could be standing in front of kind of a virtual studio. So it's a pretty powerful technology, but they have apps that allow you to do that as well. You might have to pay for them, but that might be possible. Alan says you can record video and upload it onto YouTube. Absolutely. Lori says make it as simple as possible. Yeah, I agree. Make it as simple as possible. When you're coming up with a concept for your video, don't try to make it too complex. I'd rather see you do two short videos than one longer video. Just kind of break it down to the simplest terms of what you can share and then share the idea. Alan says there are core reasons we are drawn to video. Absolutely. He says our brains are geared to look at people's faces to gather information. When people see your face, it creates believability. Absolutely. Let's see. I was watching this program called Brain Games, and they said, I'm trying to think exactly what they did, but they had this little thing they did where they showed you two videos at once, like two people talking, or at least, you know, as if they were talking, we couldn't hear them, but they showed them on camera, and they told you to, in the first instance, like look directly at them, and then the other instance, look between the two images, like at this blank spot, and then look at the videos. And it was interesting. If you were looking directly at them, they looked normal. But if you were looking in the center between the images, it looked like their faces were distorted. It's like our brains cannot pick up, you know, the way people's faces look if we're not looking directly at them. If we look at them, they look normal. If we're looking to the side, their faces kind of look distorted or abnormal. I thought that was kind of interesting, and it just shows you how much our brains are geared toward picking up information from people's faces. It's kind of that perception is reality. Roy says body language in video communicates. Absolutely, yeah. Body language is part of communication. Facial expressions, it could be gestures you make. There's all sorts of things, like crossing your arms is typically considered resistance. So it's like you're, you know, somebody talking, you cross your arms, that's a sign that you're resisting what they're saying. Roy said movement attracts attention. Yes, absolutely. People tend to zone out or go into a trance when they are, you know, listening to people, whether it's on video or whether in person. So you have to do things to grab their attention. You know, make a noise, speak louder, make a movement or something like that to grab their attention back. Alan says, movement grabs attention. We are primed to notice it. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, if a spear is coming in off the side, heading straight towards you, your peripheral motion is going to pick it up, and you're going to shift and jump to avoid getting speared. Alan says, create short yet high-impact videos. Absolutely. Roy said, decide on your call to action before producing your video. Yeah, it's a good idea. Start with the offer first and then decide what you want to share or the tip. All right, let me get share a few more ideas here, and then we'll come back to the Facebook group. You can create a series of pre-client funnel videos to welcome new prospects. So when you have people opt into your email list, there might be a period of time where they don't know who you are. They might have just opted in off of a website, so they don't really know who you are, so you need to find a way to welcome them. So a pre-client funnel helps you to communicate with people over time, build trust and rapport, and possibly even qualify them for a next step, and that next step could be for an appointment. So you could actually pre-qualify people before they have an appointment with you, so that when they walk into the appointment, you've already had a chance to communicate information with them. And again, you can create videos, you can use autoresponders as a way to accomplish that. You can even use online surveys as a way to gather information. Now, you can also use autoresponders to drive people to videos, as I mentioned. Now, how do you build a stronger call to action over time? Well, if you're going to do an autoresponder series and you're encouraging people to go out and watch the videos, then there's really two ways to get people out to a website. Like, let's say you have a link for somebody to go out and purchase a product. What you'd want to do is you might want to mention that what the offer is in your email message, and then you would want to include a link where people can click to go out to get there. But as you're sending that email autoresponder series, or actually as you're creating the email autoresponder series, you would want to build up to that over time. You would want to start off with a very slight call to action. You might want to put a call to action in the PS that mentions your specific offer and includes a link. And then as the series goes on, after they have a chance to watch the videos, then you want to build toward a stronger call to action until you have a point where you might have an email which only talked about the offer and shared a lot of the benefits and encouraged them to go out and take advantage of that opportunity. All right, heading back over to the Facebook group here. Alan says, make sure that you introduce yourself at the beginning of the video. Absolutely. You want to start that video off, and you want to introduce yourself so people know who you are. And he says, keep the intro short, about 5 seconds, and then jump right in. Yeah, if you create some kind of an intro that has music or something like that, don't have like a 15 to 30-second intro. That's just way too much. And you know, if you hire somebody to do that, oftentimes, you know, they have a vested interest in creating a longer intro, because they want to demonstrate the quality of their work, and the longer it is, typically, the more they can charge you for it. So your job is to make sure that you have a short enough intro that you grab somebody's attention and then jump right into the content. Alan says, ICR equals interest creating remark. Say something that will make people want to stay tuned. Yes, absolutely. Grab their attention. Get them interested in what you have to share. Because, you know, once somebody decides they want to watch something, they're just going to hang on. You know, if they feel like, yeah, I want to get to this, I want to find out whatever this idea is, then they're going to want to watch it. And I've been watching a lot of videos lately myself. I've been watching videos out on YouTube, but I also go directly to people's websites as well. I was on a website recently for Callan Rush, and she does a lot of work related to events and sharing tips for hosting events and workshops. And so I was watching some of her videos. But I was not only just watching for content, I was also just watching how she does her videos as well. Lori says, many calls to action, phone, website, social media, email. That's right. You don't have to just always drive to a web page. You could have another call to action to encourage people to reach out to you. Lori says, Rick, what are your tips for being more comfortable on video? Well, I don't have a problem with this so much. When I go to record video, I think my mindset is just getting the content ready to go and then sitting down to do it. For me, it takes a little bit of setup time to get to move my laptop or phone or to wherever I want to do it. Lately, I've been filming in front of a bookcase, and so I have to get everything set up to get ready to go, and then I just hit the button and I go. But I think for somebody who's not comfortable on video, a couple thoughts. One, go look at yourself in the mirror first and, you know, fix anything that needs to be fixed. You know, fix your hair, fix your clothing. You know, part of what I have to do when I do a video is I get dressed. If I'm just working, on my own and just doing calls like this, you know, like in the winter here, I'm just wearing sweats. I have on a sweatshirt and sweatpants. So I'm not wearing anything necessarily professional. I don't have to appear in front of anybody. And so a lot of cases, I just keep it simple and comfortable. When I do video, then I have to get dressed up. And so I have to put on a business shirt. And sometimes I'll put on slacks, or I'll just, you know, put on a business shirt, and I'll just be wearing sweats on the bottom. So you don't necessarily know. It goes back to the concept that video is an illusion. You only see on camera what you see. You don't see everything else that's going on. So I think once you get past that, you know, it's like, how do I look? Then the next thing is, what's your content? So figuring out, you know, what is it that you're going to share? And obviously you would have figured that out first before you start the process. You want to know what your offer and opportunity is, get clear on that, and then go and record the video. So take a chance to practice it. You could even practice while you're recording it, and then go. Just try it out. Get it done. And I usually find I can get a pretty good job done on the first take. Sometimes I'll mess up and I need to start back over again. That will happen. Or I discover, oh, here's something I need to do. Or I'll think, oh, you know what, I should probably make a gesture here. Or, oh, yeah, I need to use a prop. So now I need to go find a prop for it. But I think it's one of those things where the more you do video, the easier it becomes. And again, there's a learning curve. There's not only a learning curve just from being able to talk on video, but there's also a learning curve for the technology as well. So the sooner you start moving down the road toward that process, the easier it's going to be. Alan says, uh-oh, the Rick Cooper video challenge has been issued. Yeah, so here's another video challenge. I did a video challenge in December, but I would also encourage you now here to jump into a video challenge if you want to do it and participate. Alan says, potential top video topics to do. And we already went through those. Alan says, a short video on why videos are important and valuable. Okay, so is that going to be your topic, Alan? Alan, it sounds like Alan wants to do a short video on why videos are important and valuable. All right, let's see. Let me do another refresh here. And actually, let me jump back over. I've got a couple more ideas to share with you here. Let me share with you 5 tips for creating great videos. You might want to jot these down in your notes. Number 1, script and practice your videos. So you can write out a full script for your video, or you could just outline it or do something in between. Normally what I do is try to write out as much as I can related to my videos, but then I'll create a short outline. Then I'll use the outline while I'm recording the video. I usually put the outline like a little post-it note and have that in front of me. And usually I don't need to look at it, but sometimes I might look at it just to get a sense of where I am in the process. Also, improve your lighting. When I set up my videos, I grab a lamp or something like that I can put up. If you want to go the full route, you can actually buy professional lights that you can use where it's muted lighting. It's not, you know, it's not the harsh glare of a light or a lamp pointing directly on you. Sometimes they'll have filters or screens that go over them that will help to mute the light. But if you want to set up a video studio in your home or office, then you can, you know, invest in a little bit of equipment to help you with that. You can also use props. I would encourage you to create a prop box. Get a box. It could be something as small as a shoebox or something as big as like a banker's box, and then start gathering different things that you could use in there. What is something that you could use as a prop? I'm looking on my desk right now, and I have a staple remover. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, how could I use a staple remover as a prop in a video? Well, I could talk about the obstacles that people face when using technology. And I'd say if you want to, you know, be able to leverage technology more in your business, then you might need to find a way to remove those obstacles. And then I could hold up the staple remover and click it a couple times. And that would be an example of a prop. So props don't have to be expensive things that you go out and purchase. It could be things that you just have laying around the house. You want to look for things that might be a metaphor to describe what you're talking about. That was tip number 3. Tip number 4 is to look into the camera. This is one of the simplest things to do. When you're recording your video, you may have a tendency to look anywhere but at the camera lens. If you look directly at the camera lens, it will appear that you're looking directly at the person, so they'll have the experience of feeling like you're talking directly to them. If you're looking away, if you're looking at your notes, then you're not looking into the camera lens. So this is something you want to practice. This is one of the reasons why it doesn't work so well to just read a script, because then it doesn't appear that you're actually looking at and communicating directly with the person. So you really want to come from a place where you're trying to connect directly with the person as if you were talking to them. So just imagine if you were talking to them, you would be trying to make eye contact with them. And so the way to make eye contact is to look directly at the camera lens. And number 5 is to smile. More than likely, you're probably not going to come across as being too enthusiastic in your videos. So you really have to step it up. You need to smile. You need to strive for enthusiasm in your videos. And because it always feels when you're watching the video like it's about 1 or 2 notches below where you really think you're at. So you really need to kind of amp it up a little bit in order to be able to make it more expressive and interesting and engaging with people. Because you want to connect with people emotionally. You want to connect with people emotionally. So here's a question for you. What is your digital you video strategy? What is your digital you video strategy? Initially, it might be just to get some videos up to YouTube. Some of you might want to create an online video sales funnel. For others of you, you might want to create a more sophisticated, longer video, like a 15 to 20 minute video where you sell a product. So for others might want to create a pre-client video funnel. So think about what your digital you video strategy is right now, map it out, and then get started on it. All right, heading back over into the Facebook page here. We're already up to 54 comments. Great job. You guys blasted through the goal. Okay, let's see. Alan says, how to get yourself into a positive mood. Yes, that is a good suggestion. Get yourself into a positive mood. And by the way, another thing you could do there is you could play some music and you could dance. A lot of people do that before they record videos. They turn on some high energy music and they dance around. And that just kind of brings your body up energetically to a different level. You're kind of vibrating at a different speed, and that will come across when you're communicating on video. It also just gets your heart pumping. It gets gets the blood flowing through your cheeks, and gets your breath going to where you're feeling. You don't want to be out of breath when you're recording your video, but give yourself a moment to recover. Then Alan says, hey, I just learned this. Awesome. Good tip. And Tom said, new video title, Characteristics of an Ideal Business. Good. Yeah, that's a good topic. I think you have a blog post on that one, so that's perfect to tie into it. Then Alan says, procrastination is a complete waste of time video. Ooh, I like that. That's good. That's awesome. And Alan shared a link for a Bluetooth selfie stick. Where it's literally like a stick where you hold, or that connects to your camera, so you hold it, and then it, steadies it a little bit more. Plus, it will allow it to extend it out a little bit further, because oftentimes with a selfie, you're holding it up to where your arm might even be visible in the video. So I like that. That's $29 for that. Tom says, welcome, Lori, to the group. First time I've seen you on the call. Awesome. And then Tom says, how do I add a page of text to a video? Let's see, how do I text to a video? Well, first of all, let me try to answer that from a couple of different perspectives. So when you upload a video to YouTube, there's a place where you can add a description. In the description of the video on YouTube, you can put text in there. So that's one place where you can put text. When you embed a video on your blog, you would create a blog post, and you would go to YouTube, find your video, click on the share button, click on the embed button, and then get the embed code, copy the HTML, go back over to your blog, paste it in there, and then save it. Blog post page, you can also add text there as well. And the other thing you can do is you can actually add text directly onto the video itself. You can do this actually directly through YouTube. There's a tool that's called annotations. And if you go into annotations, you can add a word or a phrase or a website address directly onto the screen. That's pretty cool. Roy said, look at the camera as if you were talking to a camera operator. Good tip. Lori says, no teleprompters. you know what? I've experimented with teleprompters. There's a teleprompter software that you can get for your computer. And I've tried that on the laptop before. The problem is you still end up coming across like you're reading it. It doesn't come across as being sincere and genuine. So it could be a way that you could get started in doing videos if you have a discomfort around doing it. But over time, you really want to get to a point where you're comfortable communicating with it. So, Lori, you're a public speaker. So just try to get into that same zone as if you were talking to a group of people. You wouldn't be sitting up there reading from notes while you're talking to an audience. So, just the short videos, 2 to 3 minutes long, just practice it a couple times and you'll be fine. I can sense some resistance around this, so you're just going to have to work on it. All right. Tom says, Rick, thanks for your answers. You're welcome. I just checked the time, and we are just past the top of the hour, so we are going to wrap up the call at this point. I want to thank you for joining me on the call today. I would encourage you to get into action. Start thinking about what videos you can record and just get it done. Make it happen. Whatever are the obstacles that are holding you back around this, whether it's the technology or whether it's feeling uncomfortable on video, just blast through that. You know, write it down, put it on your task list, start working on it. Get the script done, practice it, and then record it. And the more that you do this, the easier it will become. Thanks for joining me on the Sales Technology Training Call today, and I look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.